So family, youth, ministry, and you, that's been our subject, obviously, for this month. And we've talked about three biblical concepts. One Sunday, we talked about these concepts. Do you remember what these concepts are? Next slide. There it is. Almost got you, Brad. All right. Three biblical concepts. The church is a family of God. Remember that? That's got to be in place. The church labors together, and the church helps prepare our youth. So those are things that we talked about need to be in place and are in place right now. We also talked about what is family youth ministry. We talked about what it's not. Remember the concepts that we said that it was not any one of those three concepts, but it was a culmination. And we looked at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, talking about that it's the whole body, every joint. It's what every joint supplies to the growing up of the body. Everybody doing their measured or metered part is what family youth ministry is all about. And so it's all of us being involved in that process. Now we talked about some challenges. What are the challenges to youth ministry or family youth ministry? And we talked about how, you know, we as individuals could be challenges if we're not plugged in and doing our part, what every joint supplies. We talked about the different concepts of why we're changing, the concepts of who the youth are. And we talked about changing culture as a way to address those challenges. Do you remember that discussion last Wednesday? And we talked about this analogy about what culture is, and we had that long, boring definition of what culture is, and we have this concept that culture is, it starts off with values. Remember the core values. Every culture has its own core values, and we talked about how even a family unit is a culture unto itself. Remember the discussion of to stack plates or not to stack plates. Remember we talked about as an example of a family culture type of environment. Also, rituals are part of a culture. Heroes, we talked about some heroes of culture, and symbols. And all those together help give us a basis for our practice as a culture. So those are all fundamental concepts for identity as a culture. We also looked at Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. We'll be here for just a moment. In addressing culture, remember, Hebrews is a book of better things, right? Better things. And in this chapter, it is a chapter of what? Chapter 11 is a chapter of faith. That's right. Exactly right. So, chapter of faith. And we have examples of people who changed culture, people who cried out that they're going to be different. Here in these few verses, talking about those that were mentioned earlier in this chapter. He says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance. You know, we talk about Joseph later on in this chapter, who before he died, is talking about taking his bones out of the promise, or taking his bones to the promised land. So he saw that promise from a distance. And having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And so, what are they saying? If I say I'm a stranger and exile on this earth, what am I saying about the earth and myself? Are we the same or are we different? We're different. So if we are claiming to have the faith that changes us and have a faith like that's exampled in these, then I'm going to cry out with my actions and with who I am. My core values are going to be different than the world. Now, I'm not saying that the world doesn't have good people in it. I'm not saying that there aren't values out there, but we need to make sure that our values as an individual, as a family unit, and as a congregation are the values that align with the Bible and the doctrine that the Bible teaches. And so when you say here, my actions cry out that we are strangers and exiles on this earth. And if we have that concept in place, it makes it easier, I think, for us to be different. Because we want acceptance, don't we? It's just nice when you're accepted and there's not that tension. You know, you don't feel different. Feeling different's awkward, right? Austin, we talked about, you know, the spatial relation. Remember that? You stood up and very bravely had no idea what I was going to do, but stood up anyway. And there's that awkward moment when somebody's too close to you. And you know, when we talk about not fitting in, it doesn't change. When we're youth, we want to fit in, even up to adults sometimes. That doesn't really change. At work, it's hard being different. It's hard being different. But our actions cry out that we want to be different. Why? Why do we want to be different? We are seeking a different country, a country of our own. Verse 15, and indeed, if they had been seeking a country from which they went out, we're talking about the Israelites, you know, they could have gone back, ends of verse 15. They could have gone back if they're actually looking for a physical country. But as it is, verse 16, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And that's where we belong. That's our end game. I mean, we've talked about this in our classes. That's our end game, that heavenly city. And if we set that as our sights, it makes it also a little easier to be different here. To be different here. And so Satan is always trying to get us to fit in. We talked about two individuals, Daniel. There wasn't anything that wasn't changed for Daniel. Do you remember that? Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, what did he say? Or what did he do? Do you remember? Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Some of you are saying it. He purposed in his heart. He made up his mind that this was not going to change. This wasn't going to change. Paul in Philippians chapter 3, remember he talked about being a Hebrew of Hebrews, right? Hebrews chapter 3. And at the end of that discussion, he says he counted all of that, the pedigree, everything that he was preparing himself to do, he counted it for what? For rubbish, is what some of the translations say. It's a pretty strong word there in Philippians chapter 3. I'm not going to say it in church. What he said, but all of that counted for rubbish in comparison to being with Christ or being in Christ. And so we need to make sure that we are changing culture. If you go to the next slide, Brad, just bring up the picture. There you go, right there. What is that? We're transitioning now into what we're going to be talking about. What is that? It's a rock. It's exactly right. It's got letters on it. If you look there to the right, it's on a path. This is actually, I think this particular rock is in Portugal. If I said Rome and Rhodes, would that clue you in a little bit what this might be? It's a milestone. That's exactly what it is, Joe. It is a milestone. The Romans set up roads throughout all of what was Rome. Yeah, that's an easy way of saying it, right? And where did all roads lead? To Rome. And we still know that. All roads lead to Rome. And so they would put on there who was the current Caesar and the distances between where you're going. And so this was a milestone. This was a milestone. We're going to talk about tonight milestones of faith. Milestones of faith. What I wanted to do for this idea of family youth ministry is give us something to look at. What is it going to look like? Right? We've been talking about concepts up until now. Tonight I want to show you what it's going to look like. And we're going to talk about milestones in a life of faith. And we're going to talk about this. And the idea of milestones or memorial stones are not strange to the Bible. If you look in Joshua chapter 4, and we've briefly looked at this before, in Joshua chapter 4, when they're crossing over the Jordan into the promised land, do you remember what happened in Joshua chapter 4? Joshua chapter 4, verses 2 through 7. When God's speaking here, it said, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones from where? Out of the middle of Jordan, from the place where the priests' feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. And so Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of the Lord. And so the whole caravan of the people had crossed over, and the priests with the ark are still standing there. And he says, you 12 guys go back and get some rocks out of the riverbed. All right? Get those rocks from where the priests are standing or where they're standing firm. And he says, each one of you take them on your shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? You shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Saying, the waters were high, the waters were at a point where we could not cross. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So when the presence of God on earth, the ark touched the water, went into the water, the water was cut off. It stopped, and the people crossed. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. They were to be a memorial. And so these stones were sort of a milestone on the path of the Israelites coming out of Egypt, and all they went through, and as they entered into the promised land, this became a memorial so that later on other generations would say, what are those rocks for? It's a memorial for what God had done. He had finished His promise. They had gone into the promised land. And so our lives have significant memorial stones in them, right? Memorial moments. Go to the next slide, Brad. There it is. Life of faith. That's probably not the snazziest picture for an idea of milestones, but it's what I could do. At least it's not crayons, right? So here we are, we have milestones on a life of faith. And if we're talking about a life of faith, what's our first milestone? Being a Christian is on there. But if we're talking about a whole lifespan, we're talking about a whole lifespan. Birth. Birth. You got to be. Right? You got to be here. So we're going to start with our first milestone, looking at birth. Birth to kindergarten. Now, what we're going to look at on these milestones and what I'm going to list on these are things that Palm Beach Lakes is already doing. What we're talking about tonight, I took laborers together with God and took all the information from that and put them into milestones. And so these are things that specifically are for children from birth to kindergarten. I didn't put kindergarten all the way on there because it didn't fit, and I wanted it to stay the same font size. So, birth to kinder, all right? You get the concept. All right. So, everything that we have at Palm Beach Lakes already in place for this age bracket, and there may be other things that I missed, all right? There may be other things that I don't know about. I'm new here. So I may have missed a few things, but here's what we have right now. So a child is born. We have baby showers. We have parenting classes for the parents. We have an education program. There are books that are given to children that are closer to kindergarten age. The book that we have are God Made You and God Made Animals. And there's a lot of also Apologetics Press materials available. There are activities, Vocation Bible School, Back to School event, and Promotion Sunday. Those are things that I know about, and there are other things. And there are two sides to this, right? To the birthing process. There is the child, and then there are their parents that are raising the child. And so when a child is born, we have what is available for the parents at Palm Beach Lakes and what is available for the child at Palm Beach Lakes. Now, we're going to be developing more information for parents because you know what? Kids don't come with a manual, right? The car does. There's the Bible. That's our manual for life. But the Bible doesn't talk about when we're sitting in the pew, what do I do, right? You know, there's a lot of things we have for us at Palm Beach Lakes that people don't know about necessarily. We have a training room over here on this side, and we have a nursery over here on this side. Those are available, but some parents don't even know what those are for or how to use them. Now, when Vivian was growing up here, some of you may remember me taking Vivian out and walking down this aisle. Some people are shaking their head. Yes, I remember that. And some of you were nice enough to come up to me and say, I thank you for doing that, you know, training Vivian. Because what was happening with Vivian was this. Parents, you know what that is? It's a clash of wills. Who's going to win? In this corner, we have a child weighing at 12 pounds, right? And that's what happens, right? That's what happens with children in the pew. So Dan's up here preaching or whatever's going on up here, and there's a battle in the pew. Who's going to win, right? And parents, you know who has to win, right? Who has to win, parents? Parents must win because we're our children. down here. Now, if parents don't win when they're small, guess what's going to be difficult when they get bigger? It's going to be a bigger battle. They're going to be heavier in that corner, right? So, because y'all grow up, you know, it happens anyway. You'll learn about this later on. So that's what happened. So that we have a lot of things here for parents to help with that process. And we're going to talk about that and develop some information for parents on that to help them, because we are here to help, right? We're not here to sit in the pew and say, man, I wish they'd take that kid out. Don't they know? They may not know. How many of us were raised sitting in a pew? How many of us were not raised sitting in a pew? All right. Some of you may not know the long arm of the law. I have no idea how. There was four of us growing up, and I have no idea how my dad could dunk the last one of us on the end. I have no idea. His arm stretched. I don't understand. But there were four of us, and he could still knock us on the back of the head and just do this. And you were like, yes, sir. You know, so some of us may not know those little tricks, you know. And so those are things that we're going to help, because we want to help in that process. Joe, that doesn't count. Pinching Miriam. All right, so that is birth to kindergarten. And there's a lot of people who know what's going on here because they're plugged in at this milestone, right? They're plugged in here. And there's a lot of people who are at this point with their children or our children at this point, but they're not in this room right now. So we move on to the next milestone. Isn't that awesome? The square moved. Milestone two. We're looking at milestone two now. First grade through fifth grade. All right, so kids are growing up. We still have parenting classes for the parents. We still have an education program, which is awesome, by the way. You'll walk down that hall, and you can literally get eaten by a fish if you're not careful, right? So there's a lot going on for our youth. There's a lot of effort behind the scenes for our education program for the children. But you know what? It doesn't work if they're not here. There it is. I won't say who said that. But if they're not here, it doesn't work, right? And so children need to be here. And so we need to encourage parents to bring their children and help them understand, to help our children grow up in this and to benefit from this. A lot of work goes into that. There's also books that are given. Look at all those books. Can y'all read that? Okay, good. Because I can't from that one over there. I know it's on the screen. All right. Activities for the children also. Vacation Bible School, Bible Bowl, CFBC. Which I believe starts at fifth grade. I'm sorry? Age 10. So depending on where your child is. And Promotion Sunday. So these are things that we have going on for Milestone 2 at Palm Beach Lakes already. And again, I think you're seeing that this is sort of an interface kind of idea. What does it look like? As we develop this, look at Milestone 3, 6th to 8th grade. Between Milestones 3 and 4. It moved again. Okay, here we are. Six, I wanted to be very clear about, so I had a square move. That's going to do it for them. That's going to convey, I was hoping, okay, it works. Never mind. Moving on. Life of Faith, Milestone 3, 6th to 8th grade, huge transition year for children, right? At 6th to 8th grade, what are we doing? We've already started it in 5th grade, but this is big identity things, right? Who am I as an individual? So these are big identity things. So there's more questions, more things that parents are dealing with at this age. So we have parenting classes. We'll be developing that more. Education program, still an awesome education program. Books that are given to kids. Now, if you are counting, some of these are a series of books. If you're counting, this is quite a library that children are going to have by the time they graduate. So this is a great thing for kids at this age. Look at the activities also that we have. Another big list, Bible Bowl. That's something that we're going to be doing again with the families, CFBC. The Sweetheart Banquet, that is something that the youth do for those who are older. That's a good way. That's good. For those who are older. ET, Evangelism Training for Youth. Leadership training classes, Vacation Bible School, and Promotion Sunday. And so these are things that are available already for youth, specifically for youth. And there are other things that they could get involved in, but these are things that are involved specifically for this age bracket. Let's move on to milestone four. There it is. You would be lost without that. All right, milestone four. 9th to 11th grade. Again, parenting classes. Again, another big transition point. We're going to another school system or another school sometimes. Being 9th grade, you're a little fish in a big pond again. And so it's difficult. So we have parenting classes for the parents, education program, another set of books for the youth at this age, activities. We have a lot of activities for youth at this age. Bible Bowl, Junior Senior Banquet, ET for Youth, Promotion Sunday, Leadership Training Classes, CFBC, trips to FHU, Yes Weekend, which was also for the other group. I didn't put it in here, just based on that. Senior High Mission Trip, Young Men's Training Classes, Vacation Bible School, which I think at this age they're helping more with that also, and Promotion Sunday. So there's a lot going on for Milestone 4. And parents, again, this is Milestone 1 through 6, one through 5, 6-ish, parents are involved in that process. This is a dual stage process. So milestone 4. Milestone 5, moving hurriedly along, senior year. Is senior year a big deal? Yes, senior year is a big deal. What are we deciding at senior year? That's exactly what I was going to say. What am I going to do for the rest of my life? What is going to be my profession forever, right? You know, and so that weight comes down upon us, and we're like, what am I going to do? I don't even know. And so, yeah, there's that. You know, mom and dad are ready to kick us out of the house, so I got to do something. So senior year is a big deal. Again, another identity thing. Is my faith going to stick with me? Is that going to transition with me also, right? And so those are big things for senior year. So special attention needs to be paid for those who are making this big step into adulthood. They are beginning to try out what it means to be an adult. And so we are here to help them with that process. Again, there's a lot going on for our senior year, basically the same things that were going on before. And we'll be developing some more activities specifically for seniors. But this is a big year. This is a big year. This is a year where they basically are going to, you know, kind of pushed out of the nest and said, you can do it, right? And if you've noticed also that if a child has been plugged in from stage one, everything's been preparation for the next stage, right? So in theory, if a child is plugged in since milestone one, there are things in place to prepare children, now young adults, to this age. In theory, if we're plugged in, if we're doing our part. So milestone six, adulthood. This magically happens with age, right? And age-wise, anyway. So adulthood, what is adulthood? I'm sorry? You get the car keys, over 18, more responsibilities, basically, in a nutshell, right? You're now responsible for self. Without, you know, the tutelage necessarily, or without out from underneath the umbrella of mom and dad in a lot of cases. And so with adulthood, we have still an education program. Still an education program. We still have activities for adults, specifically for adults. Things to help us as a congregation continuing to grow. At no point in this stage have I reached a point where I have reached the zenith of Christianity and I no longer need to grow. Right? We're always continuing to grow and mature in the church and in the faith. And so this is part of that adulthood number six. And so as we are at number six, we're about to go into a section of milestones that can happen at various stages or may never happen in your life. Let's look at the next stage. There it is again. It's like the bouncing ball, right? All right, baptism. Hopefully this happens in your life. Why is baptism important? Where is salvation, according to 2 Timothy 2:10? Salvation is in Christ. According to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, we are baptized into? All right, so baptism is a big deal. Baptism now saves us, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. So baptism is a big deal. So at some point, and this can happen, baptism can happen for As young as 10, 11, 12 has happened before, junior high, senior high, or adulthood. Somewhere in that life, in that span, that can happen. All right, so this is one of those milestones that moves around, okay? So when somebody's baptized, we have new convert lessons, we have orientation classes, and the assimilation process. For in some cases, if somebody who is baptized who hasn't been here before, a new, somebody is fresh from outside, so to speak, then there is assimilation process to introduce them into what is the church, because they have no real concept. And so that's where part of this milestone concept helps, to show them here's where you are on your life of faith. It is something visual to show to people. And it's also something visual to show to families when they move into the area and they want to place membership with Palm Beach Lakes. And we say, here's what we can provide for you and help in your process and growing up in the faith or in your life of faith. And so we have this assimilation. Look at number 8, marriage. There it is. We probably could have done without that at this point, right? Marriage. All right. This may not be in everybody's game plan, right? For some people, marriage is game over, right? For some people, I said, no. All right. I have a whole series of jokes I thought about saying, but if you want to hear them, well, that's an after class deal. All right, so marriage. Again, this is in that adult number 6 milestone concept, but this is another milestone that moves around. You may not get married, but if you choose to get married, we have, and there are, is available from Dan and David and myself, premarital counseling. There are marriage classes from time to time and marriage seminars that we plan to have on a more regular basis to help with marriages. Do marriages need help? Yes, I think that was pretty resounding. Yes, marriages do need help. There is premarital counseling, there is postmarital counseling, and there's counseling, you know, in between. There's a lot of information out there, and marriages need help sometimes. We need help with the concept of two becoming one, right? What that means, and what that looks like. And again, every marriage is a culture unto itself, but the church needs to be here to help. I think it's interesting that in Paul talking about the older women helping the wives, the younger wives, to love their husbands. You know, you read that and it's like, they should love their husbands, right? And so, you know, I don't know, maybe it's a cultural thing that I'm missing out on, but there is that concept of the older helping the younger. Even the older men need to be examples to the younger men, you know. All lives or all marriages go through a cycle, don't they? What's the first one? The honeymoon stage. Everything is so rosy and awesome, and I will love you forever. You know, and you have all these little sweet names for each other, and sometimes you dress the same and that kind of stuff, and everybody around you is going, oh, that's nice, right? And so there's that stage of marriage. And then there's the next stage, right? There's the learning each other stage, right? If you can squeeze from the bottom of the toothpaste tube or in the middle, that can be dangerous, right? So there's those things, those kind of things in the marriage. And there's all that different cycle and process in a marriage. And those who have been married should be here to help, you know, take a young married man and say, hey, she's going to go through that. But she does, and yep, she's going to do that. But here's what you need to do. And so there's that kind of mentoring that needs to be involved as a body. You know, we need to be involved. Everybody doing their measured part. And so that's milestone 8 with marriage. What about 9? And this is one that we don't talk about a lot. We might stay here for just a few minutes. Look at 9. What about being grandparents? Did your lives change when you became grandparents, grandparents? Bible's saying, yes, my life changed. Yes, life changes when you become a grandparent, from what I understand. All of a sudden, children don't do anything wrong, apparently, you know, when you become a grandparent. You know, I've heard my dad say this. He said, you know, the things that were important when we were raising you just aren't that important anymore. And it's like, it took you this long to understand what I was telling you from the very beginning, right? What does the Bible say about grandparents, or the concept at least as the next generation? Look at Psalm chapter 78. We've looked at this before. Psalm chapter 78. And he starts off the psalm saying he's going to talk about some heavy things, but he wants to teach the next generation. If I can find it fast enough. Beginning in verse 4 of Psalm 78, and he said, "We will not conceal them from our children," talking about these heavy matters, "but tell them to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." And so there's this idea of generation after generation teaching. Grandparents were involved and still should be involved in the faith process of children if they're here. If we have that privilege to have our grandparents around, they should be involved in that faith process. Some of my earliest memories of my grandparents are worshiping with them in a small little church. My father's parents up in Idaho. For use of those, you know, my father's parents were Gramps and Granny. You know, we all had those names, right? My father's parents were Gramps and Granny. Okay, my mom's parents were Pops and Grandma, and y'all have your names for your families, and that's your deal. So my memories with them are in worship and in them raising up. Sometimes being by myself with them, I would go to my grandparents and say, "Can I come to your house? I just need some peace and quiet." What does that mean? That means I want to go to grandmother's house just so I can be waited on, right? I want some special me time with my grandma or my grandparents, okay? So that's important, that kind of time. And that's time that should be treasured, and that's time that can be used to instill faith concepts in the youth and in the grandchildren. In 2 Timothy, we looked at this before in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, talking about the faith of Timothy. Where was it first? Do you remember? In his grandmother and in his mother. So you can't tell me grandparents aren't important in the life and the faith of youth. And so that is an important milestone. And again, that if you're not married, you don't have children, this may not be a milestone for you. But we want to be able to minister to this milestone people in people's lives. So this is something that needs to be part of the life. Also, let's look at the last one very quickly. What's going to be our last milestone? Some of you are saying it. Go ahead and put it up there, Brad. Death and grieving, right? And again, this may happen at any time. This is one of those roaming milestones. It may happen at any time. But there's two sides of it. There's the one where if we have been walking those milestones, when it comes to this milestone, we'll be ready for it. Have we thought about that? Now, people who aren't ready for it, my great-grandmother, she was not a member of the church. And when she was dying, she was clawing at death. Clawing at life just to stay alive. One, because she had what? No hope. She didn't know, had no confidence in what was beyond this next transition. Because death is a transition. For us who say we're exiles here, and we cry that out, we're exiles here, death is going home, right? And so it can be seen as a friend and rather a foe. We have victory over death, is what the Bible tells us. And we can look at death and say, "I'm ready to go home." What did Paul say about death? He said, I'd rather go right now, but it's better for you that I stay right now. And at the end of life, if we've lived and passed through these milestones, at the end of life, wouldn't it be awesome to be able to say, "I fought the fight, and I've kept the faith. I'm ready to go home." We want to help every one of us be at that point. And it not be, and there will be grieving. It's a loss for us who stay here. There's a hole in our lives. There's a void in our lives from where that person was. And it takes time to get over that. And we want to put, and we want to develop something to help people who are grieving. You know, the grieving process isn't just a couple months. The grieving process is years. And there's not a lot in place right now for us to help people who are grieving from a loss. And a lot of us don't know what to say, do we, sometimes? We want to comfort. We want to be there with them. And sometimes saying nothing at all is enough if we're there. But we want to be able to help. And so that is another milestone that we want to be able to help people with. You know, we do the food for the family and cards and flowers and visits, and we need to do that. We need to do these things, and we need to develop more about what we can do and help with death and grieving. So we look at the next slide. We have these ten milestones represent a life. They represent a life. And you may not have children. You may not get married. That may not be a milestone on your specific path. But I guarantee you, milestone one was on your path. That happens. You know, if you're here, milestone one happened. And I guarantee you that milestone 10 will happen. I can promise you that. But the question is, what's happening in between for you? Palm Beach Lakes has said, with the family youth ministry, we want to help everyone with that. And everyone's going to help everyone. And I hope this helps you visualize that concept. These are things, people, that are already in place here. Already in place. The milestone concept just helps us see those things. And Labors Together with God is coming up, and we're going to be reevaluating where you want to get plugged in and helping in this process. And so that's the concept, or that's how we get plugged into helping. You say, I want to help him in this milestone, or I want to help in this area. And a lot of you have already come up to me and said, I'm excited, I want to do this. And I was like, great, sign up for it in Labors Together with God, or I will be contacting you. And that's what's next. Go to the next slide, Brad. What's next? There's a few things we have going on next. I myself will be meeting with the parents and the youth. That's got to happen. We're going to be talking about what's going on next year and years after that. What's this going to look like? Building relationships. I have relationships with some of you. I don't have relationships with all of you. And we also, as a congregation, need to build relationships. Some of us sit in our spots, and we get up from our spots, and we go to the back, and we talk to the same people in our path. That happens, right? I mean, it's just in anywhere, in any place, that happens. Or some of us get up and just, boo, out the door. And then later on, it's like, well, I don't have anybody in relationship with anybody at church. Well, you got to stick around for us to talk to you. If you're beelining it for the door, you know, for whatever reason, that's, you know, fellowship time happens a lot in that foyer, right? Somebody told me that they built this building with a large foyer for that reason, so we would have a place to fellowship afterwards. So those are things that happen. There's going to be other things, other events, other places you can plug in and develop those relationships, but those have got to happen, because when we talk about family and our church as a family, you can't say, well, my family is this person and this person and this person and these people, because what does that create? Clicks, right? You can't do that. When we have the concept of church as family, we've got to say, this is family, right? This is family. And that's part of the reason why I had y'all sit like in the middle, because it's easier to do this. So I can't do this. Okay, so this is family. This is family. Not this. So we can't just pick who we want to be in our family. Does anybody get to pick what they want, who they want to be in their family? I know I didn't. All right. We need to recruit people. I will be coming to you. I will be headhunting and recruiting people for specific jobs. Some of you have already talked to about specific ideas and things I want your help with. Because this is not, Josh isn't doing all this. Okay, so we're going to be working together on this. And so I'll be headhunting and recruiting, and you'll need to be signing up for those things and labors together with God. And, you know, the deacon that's in charge of that, hunt him down and say, man, put me in this place. You know, I want to be in this. We'll be putting together some literature so you can see what this looks like. You can be handing this out to people. We can be using it when visitors come, and we can say, here's what we offer our youth, and here's what we offer families, and here's how we're going to help you in your life of faith. That's what we want to be able to do. And we need to distribute that information and make that available to everybody. So we know where we are. We know where we're plugged in. We know where we are on that path. And we know what's expected of us. And we know what we're going to be being preparing for. And we know where our end is. We know where our end game is. Questions. Silence. Does the concept, is it, do we understand the concept? Is it? Okay. Be praying about it. And when I come to you and ask you to help out, say yes. Just like that. Some of you are already practicing. That's awesome. Okay, so that's family youth work. That's what it's going to look like. We started off talking about fundamental concepts that are already in place. We talked about the challenges. We talked about culture needs to change. And here's what it's going to look like. All right? Now, what's awesome and what I've been telling and jumping up and down about from the very beginning is that what? It's already here. Did y'all time that? It's already here. It's already here at Palm Beach Lakes. And that's what's exciting. And so we're going to be working on this together. Questions, comments, shout outs, anything? I'm sorry? Hooray! Hooray! Awesome. That's a shout out right there. Hooray. All right. Well, I want to challenge you to be praying about it, be thinking about this, and when we get this information out to you,